Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Come in here and love with me, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Manchester City won the league. Palace and Bournemouth scored lots of goals. And the Football League playoffs are underway. Hi, everybody. Luke Moore, Pete Donaldson, Jim Campbell, Marcus Speller in your ears. It's the Football Ramble.
The original crew.
Well, it's not, is it?
No.
Slightly tweaked.
To all intents
and
purposes.
The best one.
Yeah, the classic, like, classic lineup.
That's a bit like saying, you know.
I improved it. I was like in Black Panther and made all of the entire franchise better.
That's the comparison you want, is it?
Yeah. Yeah.
When you say that's not the original crew, it's a bit like saying, whoa, Ringo's not in the original crew.
Yeah.
Well, you are.
Speaking very much like the Ringo of this Fab Four, so that's fair enough. Let's open with Manchester City are not an improving side.
Brighton and Hove Albion were beaten 4-1. It was, they were predictable, but nonetheless impressive scenes down on the south coast. But the day belonged to Bruno.
Yeah.
Playing in the Prem at 38.
What a send-off he got.
Yeah, mean feat. Playing the playoff at 38, Jimbo. He said in his goodbye speech, once a seagull, always a seagull.
That's very nice.
Presumably then he went off to
to the beach.
Eat some chips that have been on fallen on the floor.
Keep everyone in Brighton awake.
Exactly, yeah. Was there anything else from the game, Jimmy, you took?
Jeff Shreves, actually.
Right. Oh,
yeah, because Jeff Shreves interviewed Bruno and also Vincent Kompany, and at the end of both interviews, he went, go on then, go and join in the celebrations.
Well, thanks,
that's not your decision to make,
Shreves,
sir.
Yeah,
go away.
Put a dampener on it for you if I'd retire
there and then.
Yeah, you've been a part of, people are saying, the greatest side in the Prem's history. Difficult to say.
Sky Sports.
And 98 points and all the rest of it. And when you win the league and you captain the side, like Vincent Kompany, scored a brilliant goal every week and given goal of the season and whatnot, you then get to explain that in a moment with Jeff Shreves. Mm. Would put the dampener as well?
It would be like, I don't know.
Harvey Weinstein handing you a golden...
It'd be like having ice cream full of glass for dessert.
But I like the idea that they sit around before the game.
Probably an Oscar, sorry.
And Pep says, right, this is what we're going to do. This is the plan. You play how you want to play. You've got a good chance of winning this game, et cetera, et cetera. Right, thanks, guys. Do you want to go and take 10 minutes to get yourself ready? And before the siren comes along to usher them out into the tunnel... But among themselves, they say, right, who hasn't done Jeff Shreves this because one of you's got to do it.
Otherwise,
miles,
you get a fine. Yeah. It's written in a contract if you're a captain of a Premier League side. Right, as a captain, you've got to be a bit more of an ambassador.
I imagine whoever takes that responsibility gets a little bonus.
I think it's written in.
Riyad, you haven't been in the starting lineup for a while, so I think it's about time you did it. All right, if I score, can I get out of it?
Yeah. All right. Maybe that's the motivation they have. Every club should be doing that.
Yeah.
It would get a lot of people out of it, I think. But yes, Man City, the champions, 98 points, nearly reaching their record-breaking tally of 100 from last season.
Not an improving team.
On the win, on the slide.
Yeah. Well, I'd say they were, because last season there was no title challenger anywhere near them.
No, they've been fantastic. Both teams have been absolutely fantastic. And to credit Liverpool for taking it to the final day, and they're giving us something to shout about on Sunday. They've been brilliant. I mean, 97 points is incredible. But Man
City,
put it in perspective, I don't think Man City have dropped a Premier League point for over 2 months.
Well, and that's down the stretch.
It's ridiculous, isn't it? I mean, it's mad to think that Liverpool was 7 points ahead at one point.
Yeah.
But I, in a lot of cases, I think that would be used against a team that went on to not win a title. But as you say, not dropping a point for 2 months, and Liverpool keeping right up there with them like this. What else could they have done? They've just thrown everything at it, and they've been brilliant along the way as well. I think they've actually been better to watch.
And the scenes weren't as emotional Anfield as perhaps you'd expect, were they? They felt a bit more like they were ones of respect. I suppose the fact they've got a Champions League final.
They've got a potential pick-me-up just around the corner.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think the Champions League final does take the edge off them coming second. But also, I think those fans... To imagine if they were booed off at Anfield on the last day. It would be absolutely ridiculous. I think the Liverpool fans realise they've had a brilliant time this season. It's been phenomenal. And it is by the finest of margins that they have lost. I mean, they've been unofficially crowned by many people as the best second place team in the Premier League's history, which I think is disrespectful to Keegan's entertainers personally.
People are often disrespectful to them, aren't they? Sort of part of the charm of them.
But Brighton really crystallised how difficult it is to get a result against City. I mean, they obviously pop up with that goal from a corner from old reliable Glenn Murray.
Well, for around 20 minutes, the title was going to
Anfield. Yeah,
Did you ever believe it? They had a couple of shots. They had one shot, and I was like, that was not far away. If they'd piled that in, they would have lost 6-2.
I never believed it.
It felt like a false dawn,
didn't it?
Yeah.
But, I was just going to say, looking at the stats very quickly, Man City had over 76% possession. Mm-hmm. And that meant, of course, Brighton had just under 24%. So straight away, it's very, very difficult to have any sort of...
The Leicester game was the one.
But if you factor in the areas of the pitch... they have the ball
in.
I mean, it's even harder. So it's almost not impossible, because of course nothing's impossible, but it very, very, very difficult.
The only thing is, if Brighton were needing a point, but even then I wouldn't have given them much of a chance. But it was the Leicester game, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
That was the one, because it took that Kompany goal. And I think what's been intriguing for the neutral from where we're all sitting on this, the last sort of handful of games where, I've been saying, Rodgers revenge and all this tosh, it took that Kompany goal. And then Ian Hatcher has a chance, which he might do better on another day. Before that, was it Burnley before that? Or certainly, well, it was before that game. I forget which.
Yeah, they're Burnley away. They won 1-0.
Again,
yeah.
the 11 centimetres or whatever it was over the line. But it's a goal. I mean, it's a goal, by the way. I'm not complaining.
I think, funnily enough, I think John Stones' clearance off the line against Liverpool was 11 centimetres as well.
Oh, so, but you're going way further back there. I'm talking about the microclimate of the last handful of games of the season.
But what I mean is, I think on a larger scale, you can actually apply that to the entire season because
well,
the standards of both has been so close that you have to do that to find anything between them, and what a testament to both of those teams.
I think I was more impressed with Liverpool's like end to the season than I was at Manchester City, because Manchester City were kind of edging out games. They were scoring early and just shutting up shop a little bit, and as you say, there were some very close calls when it came to goals being cleared off the line and Ian Atcher and stuff like that.
I thought Liverpool were
hard working. They did exactly what they needed to do. But it was just,
it's
just those margins so small, like you said.
I know what you mean. I think the best team has won the league, you know, tends to be the case. But I think Manchester City, with their resources, with the depth they have in that squad, is just...
Where can you go? I mean, the fact is that they've got 1 point more than Liverpool, so they have won the Premier League. I mean, that we all know that. You look at some of the numbers being posted. I mean, Liverpool lost one game all season. But then, having said that, Man City won 32 out of 38 Premier League games.
Yep. And so equaled their record of last season.
Yeah, where can you... It's hard to know where to go to keep up with that, you know?
What was really telling as well with the trophy presentation yesterday was the backroom staff coming out, and there being 26 of them. Now, we know that obviously they have a lot of backroom staff and a lot of specialists, and as we said on the show last week, Pep Guardiola is basically managing a team that manages a team. But that really puts it into stark contrast to what other teams are working with. I don't know what it's like at Liverpool. I can't imagine it's that different. But obviously, City are the high end of everything, and that is that what a sort of peek under the bonnet of what makes a team tick.
Went on for ages, didn't it?
Did you enjoy Yaya Toure's reception?
They love him, don't they?
I think it's great. But then he announced that he was still
hungry for it.
Hungry for it, because his agent
hungry for kick.
You know what he's done, though? He's down in Brighton. Yeah. It's a lovely day.
Oh, yes.
Someone's getting their trophy. He thinks, I quite fancy a bit of this. It's not about that. It's about the trips in the middle of December when it's absolutely pissing down.
He's seen some of the seaside seafront properties there. And goes, I mean, these are lovely, actually.
He's got the Great Escape, George from Indie Bands.
Brighton Fringe was on. He probably popped down.
Enjoyed your comedy, Jim.
Did you guys think it was weird to see... I know it's happened before, but it doesn't seem to happen that often, at least in my mind. It's weird to see a different stadium have to make all these preparations and do all the announcements for Man City. And because I think didn't they have the Man City announcer for it?
That would make sense.
Well,
why from the Brighton goal? I want extra for this. This is another 2 hours' work.
I had the fortune or misfortune, depending on what side of the fence you fall down on, of interviewing Terry Butcher once. And it's fair to say that he is somewhat fueled by hatred of Maradona and certain things in the past. But anyway, talking of that kind of stuff, there was an amazing finish to a title race years ago. I mean, it sounds ridiculous even mentioning it now with Celtic's dominance, but when Rangers pipped Celtic on the last day and Celtic, I think they may have just needed a point away to Motherwell. Sorry to be sidetracked, but talking about stadium preparations there. And one of the things that motivated Butcher, one of the many things that motivated Butcher, who was Motherwell manager at the time, was it was at Fir Park at Motherwell's ground. And I think the SFA turned up
with all this stuff
a few days before and said, right, okay, so when Celtic win the league, this is what we're going to do. And he was like, well, hang on, we've still got a game of football here to play. And they basically just went, yeah, okay, mate, yeah. And he was like, yeah, what's happening in my office? They were saying this. The Butcher was like, right. And then Motherwell scored two goals right at the end, which handed Rangers the title.
Well, that's absolutely fair enough for Butcher said
he had a bruise on his inner arm because of the way he was thumping it, like giving the what's it to the Celtic
I think
fans.
It can be both these things. He can be a complete bell end, but he can also be absolutely fair enough
but very professional though. And that he said that was an enormous amount of motivation.
But wasn't there a conversation this year sort of about Celtic and Rangers? Should Rangers be giving Celtic a guard
of honour?
If that's a thing that has suddenly sprung up, that's something you have to do, then you have to bloody do it.
Well, you do. I think Manchester United gave Chelsea a guard of honour once at Old Trafford when Mourinho was down, and there was a bit of a kind of, do we have to do that kind of thing?
But the Mourinho thing turned out all right in the end.
I think so. But he demanded a guard of honour every week.
Should we have a mention of, I mean, because we all know Man City have been brilliant, and people listening aren't going to be short of everyone telling them how great Man City were.
But we still will get emails from people. You didn't talk about how good Man City were.
Yeah, he didn't talk about
that Glenn Murray goal.
Like nipped in there, lovely. Yeah. What about Chris Hughton? News broke this morning.
Of course.
He lost his job, yeah.
Hughton's been sacked. You cannot be beaten 4-1 by Manchester City at home and keep your job. You just can't do it.
Enough about Man City, though.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, 4.5 years, roughly, he was in charge of Brighton. It's a shame. There's no two ways about it. It's a shame. A long stint, though. He got them up in the league.
Yeah.
And he's kept them up, two seasons or two or three seasons, forgive me.
He cemented them as a Premier League.
Cement is strong.
Yeah, cement is strong. Right, he's blue tacked them into the Premier League.
It's dry.
Even Gorilla Glue.
There's a lot of dry rot. There's certain subsidence on one side of the house.
It's bungarish.
But there's a foundation there.
Indeed.
Not a foundation, a foundation.
They were fortunate that Palace beat Cardiff away.
Mm-hmm.
They were very fortunate that happened. And Cardiff, that'll be the result that they rue, because obviously they went to Manchester United and won. We'll talk about that in a short while. Yeah. But Brighton were fortunate that results went their way.
Well, as we've said before, we say this every season about some teams, they stayed up because there were three teams that were worse than them, not because they were particularly good. And I feel like it's probably the right time for them to make a change.
Second half of the season, they're really poor. I mean, Tony Bloom, the owner, of course, said in his statement, "Our run of 3 wins in 23 Premier League games put our status at significant risk. With that in mind and the performances during that period, I feel it's the right time for a change." Look, Hughton deserves a huge amount of credit and respect for what he's done, as you guys have already mentioned. But, you know, it does seem odd in a way, because they weren't relegated. Mm. If they were relegated on the final day, you'd be like, that's that.
But they dropped like a stone.
They have, and I did say a few weeks ago, didn't I, after that Bournemouth result, I thought, you know what, I wouldn't have been surprised if a statement had come out after that game.
Yep.
So clearly it was in the offing. I do think Chris will find another job fairly easily. I mean, he's got a great reputation.
He's brought two clubs up from the Championship, and that is a valuable, valuable skill.
Which absolutely is
the
yeah.
Warnock move.
And he's proved but he has proved that he can keep a side in the Premier League. Mm.
But he's also, I mean, we should also mention that he has been given the ability to spend money as well.
I mean,
he's brought in Johan Bakhsh for 17 million, I think, from the Eredivisie. He brought in Bissouma for about 15 from Lille. Of course, Bernardo came in, the left back, for 9 million. I mean, they spent a good amount of money for a club their size. I know Premier League is full of riches.
Down that end of the table.
Yeah, and so it's not really worked out, so maybe they feel they need to freshen it up. I do feel sorry for him, though. I mean, because obviously he's clearly a great guy, and he's done a good job, which means I think he'll find another job.
He'll always be... In a weird way, it might turn out... Obviously, he doesn't want to lose his job and whatnot, but in a weird way... He'll always be remembered fondly by the Brighton fans because he kept them up, and he leaves his post. Obviously, he's been sacked, according to reports. It's not been mutual consent, but he'll always be fondly remembered in Brighton now because of that. I would think because if he'd have stayed on next season, I think they would drop in, and I think they would have found it even more difficult next season.
Yeah.
It's hard to predict, of course.
How do you think, just to change the subject, Liverpool will look back on this season? Because we haven't really mentioned them yet.
I think that they're going to... that the Champions League does help matters. If they win the Champions League, then, you know, it will be a lot of... There'll be mass celebration and jubilation in Liverpool, as there should be. I still think that they had a 7-point lead. That still is in my mind, actually. And I know that we were saying, oh, maybe they're better off in the chasing position. Well, as soon as they got into the chasing position, Manchester City won 14 out of 14.
Yeah.
I think they have to look at it philosophically, because 97 points is a phenomenal tally. It's the third best in the history of the Premier League.
And in any of the year, would have won it.
Absolutely. Yeah. They only lost
apart from last year.
Yeah, true. So you have to be a little bit philosophical, really, because I think it is harsh to go on about the 7 points. But if I was a Liverpool fan, I would think we did have a lead.
Mm-hmm.
And going away to Man City, it could have been 10 and whatnot. But again, I think it's a bit harsh to kind of go on about.
But does
that.
It feel like the start of something? Because to me, Klopp made after, they do feel like they've got a really solid foundation. They're going to be in another Champions League final, of course.
Well, I think with Klopp, if you look at managers and they say, well, they can't change their philosophies, and they work for a bit and then they kind of get a bit tired, perhaps. Mourinho's an obvious example and whatnot. Klopp has slightly changed, actually. It's been very impressive what he's done this season. Bringing in Van Dijk was crucial in the goalkeeper and whatnot. But they were gung-ho last season, and they were great entertainment, but obviously they ran out of steam. They were nowhere near the title, got the Champions League final.
They came very close. 24 points better than last season.
Exactly. Yeah. So the gap. You see the improvement. Well, they're back in the Champions League final. They're now favourites to win it. We'll see what happens there. Mm. And they were, you know, a whisker of a whisker away from winning. So what Klopp has done is incredibly impressive.
Yeah.
Changing that, because they're still great to watch. They're still great entertainers and whatnot. But now they're defensively are so good. And I know Van Dijk plays a huge part in that, but Klopp is ultimately the one who has brought that in. So that's why I going on about the 7 points there. I think that one has to look at the bigger picture, because it's a very exciting time at Anfield, you have to say.
Absolutely. And I think the fact that they're 24 points better off by sort of curbing their attacking instincts a little bit, that speaks volumes to the intelligence that Klopp approaches the game with.
Well, that's what we started the season talking about, didn't we? That they weren't scoring quite so many goals. Yep. Mm. Mo Salah wasn't really in such rude health. And obviously he hit pace eventually, but he has just transformed that team to a much more balanced but still pressing team.
And the fullbacks particularly have been brilliant. Another assist. I think at least one more assist for
he got two.
Did he get two yesterday?
I think he did. I think he'd set a record, isn't he?
He'd be credited defenders. With the I mean, he's got a right foot like Beckham in terms of crossing.
Brilliant, isn't
he? He's phenomenal.
Mm. He absolutely is. I think he and probably Robertson as well would be wingers in any other generation. But I think they are a sign of how the fullback position has changed.
They've done so well. I think you know, without question, if they don't win the Champions League final, without question, they're the best English clubs I've seen to not win anything.
It'd be ridiculous.
Yeah, they are so good ridiculous. All over the pitch. And so it's just, as we say before...
Again, disrespectful to Keegan's entertainment.
Yeah, we say it in the context of the Champions League that, you know, some of it depends on the draw and only one team can win it. And we talk about trophies or what's that guy ever won, won. There aren't that many trophies around to be won. Yeah. And so you can't always win them. Mm. So, but they deserve a huge amount of credit for what they've brought to English football this season. They've been magnificent. They've been great to watch as well. Yeah.
Van Dijk said, similar to what Klopp said a little while ago, that actually if City win the league, it's not the end of the world, because if they feel that this is the start of something and this could be a golden period for them, and it absolutely could, and perhaps having City to aim at is a good thing for them overall.
Don't you think they've got more personality about them to watch? I love watching Definitely. Man City, but they're a bit more machine-like, aren't they?
They're almost like a stereotypically German team. Mm. Do you know what I mean? It is very machine-like.
Systemic.
Very much so. But Liverpool have a lot more like... I don't know, there's a lot more fire.
Well, there's fewer goals where it's just like getting the AR boss, cut it back with a low cross, quick cross. Guerrero's tapped it in, brilliant.
Yeah. It's a bit more to them than that.
Vinny Company told me to tell you there's a bit more to it than that.
Well, whichever style you like, we can agree that it's better than Solskjaer ball.
Let's move on
to the other part of Manchester, which is very much in the shadow of the blue half. Manchester United finished the season with a 2-0 home loss to already relegated Cardiff City. Manchester United, they've only kept two home clean sheets in the Premier League this season, which is their fewest at Old Trafford and top flight campaign since 1962. I'm getting this all wrong. 1962, 1963. Lots of stat there. And I was like, bloody hell, they have.
As someone said on Twitter yesterday, it's taken 5 years, but Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has at last got Cardiff playing well.
He has.
It's amazing the difference between, you know, when he got the job full time and before that. It's like the wheels didn't just come off, but sort of exploded. It's just absolutely phenomenal.
Temporary managers get wheels, permanent ones don't.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah.
And the players have to take responsibility for seeing him off, because that's what they're doing. But you know, there's two sides to it, aren't there? You can talk about groups of players seeing off different types of managers. England made a career out of it, didn't they? That generation, every different type of manager they got, they saw him off.
Different situation.
It is, and you can have sympathy for Solskjaer, who was a relatively inexperienced manager, certainly at this level. But it's the manager's job to get him back on side, right? So they've got a huge rebuilding project. It's the absolute pits there. You can't overstate it. For a club of the profile resources of Man United, another season in the Europa League should be embarrassing for them. They should be embarrassed by that. But they're expecting a guy who is an inexperienced guy at this level to oversee a massive rebuilding project. I mean, it's not just the fact that he's got to bring players in. He's got to successfully get rid of a lot of players as well. And he's got a guy in Ed Woodward who's not really showered himself in glory on that front. massively problematic times for United at the moment. And that performance, by the way, although that first goal wasn't a penalty, was it the first one?
Yeah, it was the first.
It wasn't a pen, was it?
He just fell over, didn't he?
Yeah, but even so, I mean, you're Man United at home against an already relegated team. You've got to have an answer.
He got another one later.
But also, the problem is that even if
he had the freedom of Old Trafford as well.
He was like, all right, if you didn't like that one, you'll like that one.
Yeah, it really did seem almost a very lazy performance from the players, hasn't it? But they've been linked with Daniel James of Swansea, which I find really, really interesting, because I think if you're Man United at this point, the squad is this Frankenstein's monster of a lot of different managers' ideas. So do they have to perhaps park their own status for a bit and go, you know what, we need to rebuild with players who are a little bit, maybe a little bit more affordable, a little bit of an unknown quantity, get rid of some of these players like Sanchez and possibly even Pogba, if certain reports are to be believed, where the egos are clearly weighing down other players at the club, and just start a new generation, start afresh, because this feels like it's still the ghost of Ferguson's Man United, and it's been a long time since he left.
They need to establish their identity first, right?
Yes.
So that's definitely a big part of it. And if they think that someone like Daniel James, who's an exciting, fast, young attacking player, is someone they want to go find. But I would say, look, hang on a minute.
It's a big step down to what they've been doing.
It is a big step. It's a big step up for him as well,
by the way. I think they should sign.
Jermaine Defoe. Yeah. No, on the Daniel James thing, the reason I find it interesting, perhaps slightly different to your one, Jim, is the fact that if they're looking for that kind of player, well, they've already got Rashford and Martial. Yeah. In terms of, I know they're slightly different players, and we don't really know enough about Daniel James to see at the top level what kind of player he can be. But they're exciting, fast, attacking players.
I mean, he might give
more
of a shit than Martial, but he's not a better player.
No.
That's the situation to find them in.
What a weird situation to find yourself in. You're manager of Man United, and you can't get your players to care about playing for Man United. It must be so difficult.
It's such an odd situation that they find themselves in, because you're right. I mean, you shouldn't need too much. I mean, again, Solskjaer's not I can understand under Mourinho, if it's a bit toxic and whatnot, you're not motivated, because nobody likes working for a bad manager, or a manager who's given you your jip and whatnot. Did we mention Luke Shaw getting player of the season? Did we?
I can't remember.
I think we did. Dig at Mourinho anyway. Yeah.
Scott McTominay will be handing it to him.
But what about the Ander Herrera situation? It's quite indicative. Because fair enough, he might want to move on and get a big salary somewhere else. But he started off at least saying he didn't want to, and he was very emotional when he said waving farewell to the United fans. To me, that's bizarre, because you give... I don't want to bring them into this unnecessarily, but you'll understand the point I'm making. Jones and Smalling get deals. They get new long-term deals.
Yeah.
And you let someone like Ander Herrera go, who's never let them down. He's always, whenever he's played for United in a very interesting period, shall we say, and he's and played under managers who's never really been sure who their best team is. He's been pillared around all over the place, shuttled in different positions. He's a great player. He's a top-level player, in my opinion. I'm just letting him go. To me, it's a really fuzzy thinking from them.
Negligent.
The biggest indication of how far they've fallen, as I said to you guys on WhatsApp over the weekend, they're 1-0 down at home to Cardiff on the final day of the season. And it's not that's happened to them. Yeah. It's the fact that no broadcaster cares. No. Yeah. It wasn't even mentioned. I had to actively seek it out. that's Man United.
It's par for the course now.
I mean, the only flicker of hope is Mason Greenwood became the youngest starter in a Premier League match for Manchester United, 17 years and 223 days.
Nice PR move for Solskjaer. That.
He looked pretty good, but I mean,
hit the post.
Yeah, there you
but
go.
You just get. I mean, you could do this. You could get the same results from a team that cost 100 million rather than 600 million. Yeah, which is what they got now.
It's 400 and something million.
Just go with him. Go with players like just sign someone like Arnautovic or something if you have to get some crappy cheap heat.
They were also spitting the line that our front six are all academy prospects. Yeah, one of them you bought back for 85 million.
it was a good win for Cardiff nonetheless, and it was a shame for them that it didn't matter. But a nice send-off for Neil Warnock in the Premier League, of course. If it is his last game in charge in the Premier League, a lovely little win at Old Trafford is one that he'll certainly
Well, he said
enjoy.
Himself, there's not a cat in hell's chance he'll ever manage in the Premier League again.
He will be missed.
Hopefully he'll stay in the Championship.
Yeah, quite possibly.
Well, he's taken up teams before. As I said at the start, when he came up this year, it's like he's like the dog who's not allowed on the bed. Like every time he gets in, he's like, get off that bed.
Yeah, but at least he's lasted the whole season.
Well, he lasted the whole season on the bed.
In difficult circumstances, we have to say this.
Difficult bed surface circumstances. Yeah, exactly.
Very much so. I think if he wants to stay on, which perhaps he does, then I think Cardiff would do a lot worse than keeping him on, surely.
I think so, yeah.
It's down to whether he's got the energy for it, isn't it?
Absolutely, 70 now.
Exactly.
And if he's on record as saying he actively doesn't want to be in the Premier League anymore, you've got to question the guy's motivation for picking up points in the Championship every week.
But he prefers that, though, doesn't he? He prefers getting the team up, it would seem.
I'll guarantee you I'll get you seventh.
Yeah, but that's not... did we mention this on the show? Or was it just in the WhatsApp? When somebody said in their autobiography or something that Warnock, when he was in charge...
Oh, I'd rather lose 2-0 in the Premier League than win 3-0 in the Championship or
something. Like that. Yeah, yeah. They lost their first game.
That's in the Michael Calvin book, Living on the Volcano.
Yeah, so he said that Warnock was a great motivator when they came up to the Premier League, they lost their opening game 4-0.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
And he walks in and all the players in the dressing room thinking, whoa, we're in a big league now. This is a different level and we've been winning every week down in the Championship. Warnock walks in and thinking he's going to give us a roasting and he goes, ah, love it, lads. Absolutely
great
love it.
Great day out.
Yeah, and they're like, what? And he was like, isn't it better to lose 4-0 in the Premier League than win 2-1 in the Championship?
Yeah.
And the next week they went out and win. So
they've still been relegated.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Anyway. God bless the Warlock, though. All who cast spells in him because he's been great this season. We've enjoyed it.
And he'll be ever present on this show as long as he's around football. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's go for a quick break.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
You know, I can't wait to get out of them, if I'm honest.
And he has. Welcome back to the Football Ramble. It's time for emails with PTD.
It is time for emails.
Say, I'm the only bee in your bunny.
Not the bees!
Ah! You've got mail.
Bad bees!
If you want to get in touch with the show, as always, it's show@thefootballramble.com. Hello to Tim Holland on the subject of people leaving and missing out on glory. This is what we're going to go off for the email section this week. David Stockdale decided to leave Brighton knowing full well he was going to miss out, leaving the recently promoted side to join Harry's Revolution at Birmingham. He's since enjoyed loan spells at Southend, Wickham and Coventry, as well as playing with the Blues under 18s.
Yeah.
Away from football, Tim says, two people I know have been dating for 14 years. She left him just before he won £18 million on the lottery.
Oh,
that's a stinker. Ooh. That is a stinker. But, you know, love, innit?
It's yeah,
love.
Exactly.
You can't fake it.
Can't fake it.
Money don't buy me love.
To be fair, though, getting into chaos theory, if they'd stayed together, the circumstances probably would have been different about when he bought the ticket, right?
It might be different numbers as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So if it was different numbers, probably wouldn't have
happened. If you're listening, get in touch.
Also, she wasn't married to him, so she wasn't entitled to any of it.
If you're listening, get in touch if you want to sponsor us.
Someone's signed a prenup recently. Hello to Sean, who says, Sean in Nottingham, but from Leicester. Cambiasso leaving Leicester before we won the league. Mm. Although we did get N'Golo Kanté in as a replacement, so who knows how it could have gone if he'd have stayed.
Matt Taylor left Portsmouth about 6 months before they won the FA Cup.
Cambiasso was Leicester's player of the season.
Yeah, he was brilliant, wasn't he?
He was brilliant, but I think he was ready
to... They not replace him with Gökhan and Inler, who barely featured that following season?
Maybe.
As well.
I mean, as the emailer said, Kante came to the forefront, but yes, Inler was bought around
there
that
we go.
Time.
If you want to go to shortthefootballramble.com, and quite frankly, it's the end of the season, so we need some more emails.
Yeah, do send in your content.
Yeah, seriously, we do need that.
Any hour of us spent researching is a wasted hour.
Yep.
Arsenal, they got a big win, a great win on the final day to clinch fifth spot. They finished 1 point behind Spurs.
Yeah.
Well, I knew that was the case because obviously there was that whole goal difference thing.
Swing. There was no swing.
There was certainly no swing. Well,
it was not the eight goal swing.
They were not the sultans of swing.
Well, there wasn't an eight goal swing, but Spurs got a point, so they didn't need goal difference. Anyway, Aubameyang missed a glorious chance to be the outright winner of
the
Golden Boot.
He's a funny player like that, Aubameyang, because he's got 31 goals in all competitions.
Impressive.
31. Yeah, he's been absolutely brilliant, but he does miss a lot of sitters, and he never lets his head drop, which is obviously a sign of a really great striker, but he's a really funny player.
I think he's elite. I really like him.
Oh, he's got the glide, as we've touched on before. He's a fantastic world-class player.
His record in all competitions that he's signed for Arsenal is amazing.
It's phenomenal.
A satisfying one, that volley.
He and Lacazette against Valencia were just absolute tyros. They were just brilliant. But that volley was superb, yes.
I'll tell you something. That Arsenal win away in Valencia, I understand why it's overshadowed. Because there was a bit of other stuff going on. But it was very impressive.
Yeah, I loved it at the end of the game, that Arsenal just pinging it around really comfortably. It was like, I genuinely forgotten what this was like. Like just that calm bit. It's like, okay, this game's wrapped up and won. This is great. Because it hasn't felt like that for a while.
And it's great for North London that both teams are in finals.
And they also
have a slightly different view on that.
I know it's a final day of the season, so it can be a bit of a basket case. But to go up to Burnley, who second half of the season been very good. Arsenal played a lot of young players. I mean, Nketiah, who I'm sure we'll talk about.
Joe Willock
played. Mavropanos started at the back, I think. Stefan Lichtsteiner. So there's something to be encouraged about. And I think another year along the line with Emery as the coach, who's trying to do things his own way, I think it's going to be competitive next season. And we shouldn't forget, they've got a couple of really expensive top quality strikers.
Well, yes. And if they can win the Europa League,
well, this is it.
Exactly.
Then Champions League football.
Makes a big difference.
That is huge for us. I mean, obviously Chelsea have already got it. And a little mention of Chelsea finishing third. You know, I mean, Sarri's had his criticisms and at various points of the season may well have lost his job. But League Cup final, only on penalties.
Europa League
third
final.
Third finish.
Yeah.
The Europa League final. Not too shabby.
He's done a very good job in a difficult situation. And
are you sorry for those nasty things you said about him?
I can't remember exactly what I said, but if I stepped over the line in my enthusiasm for just making great football content,
I think it was more baiting James Horncastle. So we'll let you crack on with that.
No, but he's done well. He's done well. And the question remains though about this idea of the way he likes to play and how successful that can be in a league like the Premier League. Not because the Premier League's better, but just because it's so much more competitive. We can give him credit for finishing third. But he was also 26 points off the top of the table. And it's Chelsea we're talking about.
Yeah.
They are expecting to be competitive.
Well, so he might do a Klopp.
He might do.
Lose the league by 1 point next season.
Yeah.
Mm. We're talking about the Premier League's not better. Four finalists.
I know.
Come back.
It's a Premier League flex, that.
It's incredible.
What a European flex by the Premier League.
When you look at how inconsistent Arsenal have been in particular, the fact that they've pretty much breezed to the final as well.
But, beating Napoli.
And Valencia.
And Valencia, which was not.
Winning both legs.
Yeah.
Of both games.
It's impressive.
Yeah, it shows the strength of the league, doesn't
Arsenal it? Arsenal weren't inconsistent all season, though. The second half of the season was more inconsistent.
Yeah, but isn't that the nature of inconsistency?
Yeah, true. It's the first half. True, yeah. But I mean, I have to say, they did go from the 18th of August until the 16th of December on here. I'm reading it now. Without losing a game.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
there were games where they rode their luck a bit in that time.
Sure.
But it's
are you more encouraged? You're surely more encouraged.
Yeah, I mean, it's so much of it is down to winning the Europa League, because I think it's going to make a difference for the type of players that Arsenal can get in as well, and obviously the budget for players, full stop. So
I think they'll have money in the summer, Jim. I do.
Well, there's talk that the reason that they didn't spend in January was I'm not sure the exact details of why this is, but apparently there will be money available in the summer, but obviously more so if the Champions League is involved.
But I think they should do okay if you kind of break down the whole transfer business. Chelsea have got an embargo, so they can't sign anybody, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
So that takes them out. Spurs, wonder if there's money to spend there.
I think there is. I think Spurs paid their stadium up front in some way.
That'll be interesting. Man City will go after a certain type of player.
It's funny to think they only signed Riyad Mahrez last season.
Yeah, I know, yeah. It's madness. So then you have Liverpool. Now, players want to come to the Premier League because of the standard of football and the money. Let's not be silly. If Arsenal have money to spend, even if they were in the Europa League, they're still a huge club. I still think they can get people in.
The thing is, it's Arsenal, you know, Kroenke very regularly talks about Arsenal can only spend what they generate. So, you know, there will be money to spend, but I don't think they'll be competing with the teams around them.
It won't be moon money.
It does. No, it does depend on who gets recruitment right, because Spurs are going to have a huge amount of upheaval. A lot of the players are going to move on, need to replace them. They want to strengthen anyway. Chelsea, you're right, the transfer embargo. Arsenal need to strengthen defensively. Well, Man United have got to do something, because they're not going to be able to, are they going to stand another season sick? It's impossible to see Solskjaer getting through the whole of next season if they're looking on par to finish sixth. So 66 points for United is nowhere near good enough. Hugely interesting summer ahead of us.
What happens if Poch wins the Champions League then F's off?
I mean, could do.
That could happen.
Yeah. Could do.
Will Manchester United say to Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, that permanent deal we gave you?
Yeah.
Look at the small
print. We can't find it anywhere.
Yeah.
He says if Pochettino becomes available.
I think there's probably about 10 or 15 million reasons why Solskjaer might not care about it.
Going back to Arsenal's recruitment briefly, though, is the issue is I think Sven Mislintat has still not really been replaced. There's been some sort of shuffling at the executive level. And also, Edu will be taking over a role.
Edu?
I think it's director of football.
Get him in there.
But he's coming in after a job that he's doing with Brazil. So there's going to be a little break before he can start his work. So it's still there's still a lot of stuff behind the scenes that needs to happen for Arsenal before they can even sign a player. So that is a concern.
At least they've hired someone.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Hey, still Europa League final.
Yes, absolutely.
Look forward to it.
And what an occasion it will be. What an appropriate setting for the 6,500 Arsenal and separately Chelsea fans that can make it.
Yeah.
What an occasion.
Hopefully there'll be chartered flights.
Yeah, hopefully otherwise Mkhitaryan will be allowed into the country, which currently is not.
Is that? I didn't know that.
That's right, yeah, because
that's one of the biggest
political issues.
Of course it is. All right, then. Let's have a little bit of fun and go to Crystal Palace 5, Bournemouth 3. Palace had only scored, according to the commentator, 14 goals at home in the league all season before this one. They made up for it. Their away form, of course, has been much, much better in the league. But a great send-off of Palace in the league. I mean, it's almost as if that's what the whole home campaign had been building up to, that that splurge of goals and excitement.
And a big send-off for Julian Speroni.
Yeah. It was a big send-off.
After 15 years, he said to Roy Hodgson that he doesn't want to be treated any differently, he doesn't want any special treatment. So,
but can you pronounce my name correctly?
So he was left out of it. So he was left out the matchday squad.
Yeah.
Great.
I love every year there's a game.
He's called my bluff there.
There's a game that has the sort of last day of school feel, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Everyone's just like, let's just have a laugh.
It was Newcastle Spurs 5-1 a couple of years ago, wasn't it?
Newcastle Fulham was quite fun.
Yeah, it was.
Giggle.
That was very much one of them.
Batshuayi scored a couple of goals. He's scored 6 in 13 appearances.
Get to the main point.
Palace since he's been there. Andros Townsend, he got his 6th of the leagues. 9 in all competitions.
We didn't have all competitions down. That doesn't count.
Pete, that was all that. I won that last week.
Oh, yeah, okay.
But 9 in all competitions.
I'm to a new page now.
He just got another one just to make sure. Is it 4 or 5 I've got? I better get another one just in case.
What a haul, though. What a haul for the great man.
Did Jefferson Lerma score a beauty?
He did.
He really did, didn't he? Yeah. And then he tried to just, like, I don't know, like,
get into Zaha's
push Zaha over.
Head and body.
He was so angry at that point.
Yeah. Oh, that was so... When Zaha skipped through the defence and Lerma just tried to push him off, as you were saying. It was glorious. And then when he scored, like, he celebrated as if it was his goal.
Yeah.
Which was wonderful. I mean, Zaha recently was saying that he thinks he could cut it in the Champions League. He was talking big. You can understand that, of course. It's a funny one with Zaha. I don't really want to base it too much on the on his move to Manchester United. It's a bit of a funny one, and sometimes players
it happens too young. Yeah.
Exactly. Some time. Players when it happens young.
David or even Moyes was there, and
exactly.
And historical context has proved that a lot of players can't play for Manchester United. Turns out.
Yeah, it's no disgrace at all. But I mean, with Zaha, you know, he is brilliant for Palace. He is their best player, you would argue. He has a not a blank canvas, of course, because they've got to roll their sleeves up a bit. Even though they make 49 points, which equaled their record in the Premier League, but that was when there was 42 games. So they've had a brilliant season, really. Would you like him to move to a bigger club? Or do you think, actually, obviously it's not up to us and it's blah, 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 but, you know, would you like him to stay where he is? Because it is lovely when you have a player like that at a smaller size.
Selfishly, I'd love him at Arsenal, but that aside,
he's not really the player they need, is he?
Well, I think he's an improvement on Alex Iwobi, for example. So you can see how he would certainly improve the squad. But I take your point completely. I do like it when you have sort of, not even necessarily one club man, but people that are just stay there and build a legacy with that club. Like one of the greatest players in the history of the Premier League, Matt Letizia.
I I knew he was going to get a mention.
I know why you look at me in that.
But his blank canvas is covered in blood. I think he's just tired of getting kicked. Yeah, because he's obviously a target. He's obviously the most important, influential player, but he just gets kicked all over the place. Yeah. I think he wants to just kind of hide in the shadows a bit and just get assaulted less. Yeah.
Let those welts heal up. Yeah. But he's in a great position personally because he signed a new deal, didn't he, just before the start of the season, which I remember it being reported on at the time saying that this is great for everyone. Mm. Zaha gets more money. You know, Palace get a better fee when he inevitably moves on.
It'll be astronomical if he's just signed as well.
And so if he sticks around, then great. He gets good money. He plays in the Premier League. If he gets a move, he gets more money and plays for a bigger club than Crystal Palace. There's talk all over Google News today that where he's being linked with and all the rest, not just him, but Wan-Bissaka as well. And it is vital for Palace to keep hold of at least one of those players because they've had a good season, if Wan-Bissaka and take Wan-Bissaka and Zaha out of that, not looking quite so rosy for them. They're going to be under a lot more pressure depending on how they recruit. But they've done okay this season.
When they've got big Roy the Boy in charge, they'll be okay. 100 Prem wins for Roy.
Great. Oh, that's great.
Oldest man to achieve that, I believe.
It's been a funny season for them, isn't it? Because their home form has been so strange. Mm-hmm. And it was Roy Hodgson said as well himself, like, it was great to give the fans sort of a performance like that at home on the last day. But maybe it's my Arsenal bias, but I can't get my head around being great away and just a bit insipid at home.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Mm. Oh, well, there we are. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's have a quick break, and after which we'll talk about the Football League.
Wasn't clattering on.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. The preview show, sponsored by Bet365, will be out on Thursday.
Mm.
So it's a big one this weekend. It's the FA Cup final, of course.
Our man didn't win on Monday. He missed out by 8 minutes.
Yeah.
Because Aguero's goal came after 28 minutes, I believe, and he wanted him in the first 20. So.
Yeah, that was a shame.
Blame Brighton for that. And that's why Chris Hughton got fired.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because it's not acceptable
to
fly in the face of charity like that.
No.
So yeah, show at thefootballramble.com with best bet in the subject if you want to get involved, it'll be someone else doing it this week because I'll be away. Absolutely. So you guys have to have a look at it.
Excellent. All right, let's go to the championship. This week we have the second legs of the playoffs, of course, the semi-finals. Derby 0, Leeds 1, big win for Bielsa's boys. Mm. There was controversy, though. Bit of controversy. Derby awarded a penalty, then the referee's assistant had a little word in his ear and the decision was overturned.
Yeah. Did he not just say it was offside?
No, I thought it was because the Derby player fouled the Leeds player
in the build-up.
Fouled him.
In the build-up?
But I mean, it happened really quickly. I'm not even sure about that one, having watched it a few times.
Derby were very unhappy, as you'd expect.
It's a good win for Leeds because the momentum was with Derby, really, wasn't it? And they've turned it around there. They'd be favourites to go through to the final.
Well, no side has ever made the Championship playoff final having lost the first leg at home.
What a good stat that is.
Yeah. Klitsch could have been sent off as well for Leeds. So they got the bit of the rub of the green, you have to say, but a good win nonetheless. You would fancy a Leeds to go through.
Mm.
And you'd fancy Aston Villa to go through, probably, even though their task
they turned that around, didn't they?
They did.
My God, yeah.
When Glenn Whelan sort of let that ball go through for Dwight Gale, I really respect that he didn't run after
him. He didn't bother, did he?
No, he was like,
I'm so
man
old.
Of my age.
Yeah.
I'll just leave someone else to cover
I'm
that
only going to compound the error. But Dwight Gale had an eventful afternoon because it was a great finish by him. He still had quite a lot
really
to do,
was.
Didn't he? And then obviously he got sent off for piling in on the goal.
Already on a yellow.
Yeah, doing that. So the commentator was saying, well, you know, that's a bit hard. You want a yellow card, mate.
Yeah.
You can't pile in a second after the keeper's got the ball.
And it's so rare you will get a yellow card and look at the state of what you had to really go something to get
that. Yeah, yeah.
My word.
Mm, but Villa turned it around in quite quick fashion, didn't they? Abraham's goal was a lovely one.
Yeah, yeah. Abraham with the penalty. He scored a few goals, obviously, Abraham this season. But yeah, we were saying, or certainly I was, that we expected Leeds and Aston Villa to get to the final. That seems to be the case at the moment. But you never know. Never bloody know.
Don't take
your eyes off them. Yeah, so this week we got that. League One, Doncaster were beaten by Charlton. Lee Bowyer's boys take the advantage home this week. Again, you'd fancy Charlton, even though they conceded late, but 2-1 away from home is a decent win.
I think for the way they've been playing recently, I think they're favourites for the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the way Charlton have... you know, the tribulations their supporters have gone through recently.
Yeah,
you wouldn't begrudge them.
No.
Unless, of course, you're a Sunderland or Portsmouth fan.
I don't think either of us deserve it after that performance. I mean, that was one of the worst games of the season.
Nice
the
goal first from Maguire.
Terrible. It was. And Portsmouth was a missed opportunity. I mean, they went close, but it took them until Osterk was sent off, which was harsh, by the way. You see it?
No.
It's one of those ones where the guy is through and it's a foul.
No, sorry, I did see it.
Yeah, it's a foul,
about. Yeah,
but
yeah.
I don't know if it's because that's an obvious goal scoring opportunity.
Yeah, yeah.
If you think
yeah,
that's
yeah,
an obvious goal scoring opportunity, you haven't been watching Pompey much.
No.
But there's a missed opportunity because Portsmouth really playing against 10 men for that amount of time. You want to get a goal, and we came close, hit the crossbar. It will be a big atmosphere down there.
And away goals don't count.
They don't. But I think the atmosphere is going to be different. I'm not having a dig at Sunderland, but the ground was kind of half full.
What was that about?
I don't really know.
That was a strange one, because sure Sunderland, why, didn't they not set a record in League One for the highest attendance? Like 46,000.
Also, Checkatrade Trophy final, there was 85,000 there, half Sunderland, half Portsmouth.
Yeah, I mean, so there may well be a reason. I'm not sort of having a go or anything. It's just interesting from, again, a neutral who maybe doesn't understand a particular situation going on, when Sunderland, they're in a semi-final of a playoff, important game.
At home,
and they only have about 26,000, 27,000.
Well, assuming that Sunderland sell their allocation out, Fratton Park will be sold out, so it'll be a good atmosphere for Portsmouth. No excuse to not turn that around. So yeah, we'll see, but it's a bit of a missed opportunity. The game was an absolute dog of a game.
Was it going to be anything else?
No, but I get really paranoid because, like, I know that most of my friends who support Premier League teams aren't going to watch Portsmouth the opportunity, but in this situation there's no other games on. Just like Saturday evening, if you sat in front of it, you found watching a game, it's the only game in town, and I thought, oh god, why are we doing this? Why are we playing like this? Sometimes we actually play quite well.
It's a really important game because both sides really should be in the championship for the size of the clubs and whatnot, especially Sunderland.
I think really both those teams should be quite ashamed they've not been promoted automatically.
Yeah.
Because there's not really any excuse.
Mm.
And Portsmouth had it in their own hands.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like a Liverpool situation. We were top and we let it slip. So there we go.
Did you see Salford are in the league now?
Yes.
Yeah. Big news, isn't it?
What a fairy tale story that is.
I did. I had the fortune of interviewing Gary Neville once upon a time. And I said to him, because we were talking about him and his punditry career, and I said, well, what if Salford get into the bigger leagues and whatnot? You're going to have to pundit on them and whatnot. How are you going to find that? And he was a bit like, oh yeah, I hadn't really thought of that. But they may well find themselves in an FA Cup tie now against a Premier League side or something like that.
But it's interesting, the situation, because it's obviously easy for us to have a quick joke about it. Oh, they're chucking loads of money at Salford. They're racking up huge losses, which they can afford to cover because of their rich ownership.
Yeah.
But
that's how, to be honest, that's a fairy tale dream time for any football sport, right?
Yeah, and
throw a lot of money at us, get nothing in return.
But doesn't it feel
apart
like,
from the prestige?
Doesn't it feel like it should be, you should judge that based on how they're going about it? Because if they're just chucking money at players and giving them big wages, and as soon as they get bored, they're going to leave, now obviously that's terrible. But if they're, I don't know enough about the situation to be able to judge, but if they're investing in the local area and they've got a really well-funded academy, and it's quite a nice resource for local people, right?
It's putting
a bit of money back, so it's not really the end of the world. I don't know enough about it. I'm just saying a lot's been made of the idea that now the plucky Salford with four millionaires and a billionaire behind them have got into the football league.
Their goal was to get to the championship. You think to yourself, well, if you're in the championship and you've got a bit of a vibe about you and people know the club, then, I mean, if we did see them in the Premier League, you know, it would be, I mean, this is, you're talking perhaps years away.
Good news is, mate, the ramble will be long gone by then, so you don't have to worry about it.
Good point. Good point.
Oh, I was going to make a really long Andros Townsend prediction there. He will never do that again.
Player manager of Salford City. 25-26.
Doesn't matter what haircut Andros Townsend has, it will never complete a season like he's completed this year.
By the way, goal of the season should have gone to him for that volley against Man City.
Would you have counted that as an extra one?
Yeah. It's a beauty.
No, that's in the six.
Did they not get goal of the season for that?
No, on Match of the Day they gave it to Company.
Because it's more recent, that's why.
Well, they said it was
recent. Context of it.
Recency context as well.
And I was like, the context, but an away side at Man City.
Obviously, Shelby's won it again.
No, I understand, but I'm just saying that the context is that it's more impressive for a player in a lower side.
Look,
to do that.
You won your little bet with Pete.
Yeah.
Stop trying to put a cherry on top.
All right, fair enough. Yeah. For me, that was goal of the season.
What have you done for prostate cancer?
Well, it's not for you.
All right, let's go to the WhatsApp group.
You got a little jingle for that, Pete?
WhatsApp! Hello, everybody. Welcome to the WhatsApp group. You mentioned Jonjo Shelvey there, Peter.
Mm.
He did score a lovely goal. It was nice to see him playing in that Newcastle United.
So his first goal of the season?
Possibly.
Yeah, no, I think it's his only goal in the league.
Yeah, he's certainly not featured very often for Rafa's side, so he's probably going to be out the door later on.
Shame. He said in his post-match interview, according to rumours on the internet that Mike Ashley's offer of taking the players to Las Vegas if the team had stayed up, we talked about this a little while ago, that offer's been withdrawn.
I mean, can this be true? This just seems like pantomime villain stuff.
Disrespectful to Benitez's entertainers.
From what I've gleaned online is that none of the players believed him, so they booked their own holidays, so then he was forced to cancel it.
Because, I mean,
that's worse in many ways. Yeah. That's worse because they literally go, I don't trust anything you fucking say, Mike. Nonsense merchant.
And Mike Ashley's thought to himself, Mike Ashley doesn't understand the PR of that. He thought to himself, well, that's a bit of luck.
Yeah.
Oh, they don't trust me and they've done that. That is excellent news.
I just love the idea. In my mind, whenever there's a meeting with a player and a player's agent or whatever, on the way, he's like, help yourself to a mug on the way out.
To be fair, though, if Mike Ashley said, do you want to go to Vegas with me? I know that for the lulls, you might go, yeah, yeah, definitely. But let's be honest. If Mike Ashley said, do you want to go to Las Vegas with me? The answer's always going to be no.
It's a no from me. It's a no from me, Clive.
It would be like, right, I want some more details. Yeah. It'll be economy on Virgin Atlantic.
Well, he's in first.
Yeah.
400 quid flights over there with a load of stag do's.
Yeah.
The sort of thing that you'd pitch as a Vice documentary.
I would think I would be fine flying economy to Vegas, but my problem would be when you get there, obviously Vegas is in the desert. They don't have any fireplaces there for obvious reasons. Where is that vomit going?
True. Good point. Could be anywhere. Point.
Imagine Mike Ashley at Burning Man.
Covered in dust.
He'd make it very literal, wouldn't he?
Waist down, yeah. Yeah. Would be. Before we move on to the WhatsApp.
In his jeans.
I just want, flare jeans.
Before we move away from Newcastle, are you going to move away from Newcastle?
I was, but you go ahead.
Did you see Matt Ritchie slapping the absolute shit out of him?
Yeah, he's mad, isn't he?
He's absolutely mental.
He's from my hometown. That's what people are like from down there.
I'm just pounding his head. Smash, smash, smash. And also the Newcastle fans are giving calling Mitrovic a shit Salomon Rondon. And Mitrovic genuinely putting his hands up going, why?
Well, yeah.
Genuinely, out on his sleeve stuff. Why? I loved you and you love me.
Have me back. Mitrovic will get 50 goals in the championship next season.
If he stays.
Which he won't, which is why I can say that.
Which is, I hope he would.
Charlie, our social media guy, he posted on our WhatsApp group. He went to see Fulham Newcastle. He's obviously a Newcastle fan. And I thought I'd mention this because Fulham, we're not going to see them in the Premier League next season. Yep. And it's a lovely day out, isn't it, going to Craven Cottage? And there are certain stereotypes that follow Fulham around. And Charlie took a photo of a sandwich board outside the pub closest to Craven Cottage Stadium.
I know the one.
Which says, and I'll read it to you, Petite Odette Mediterranean omelette, perfect with our baked scallops or roasted squash quinoa salad. There you go.
That's just London, though, isn't it? Yeah. That's West just London.
No. Mummy's relaxation day, Pete.
Mummy's relaxation day.
No, that's specifically Fulham, because if you go to West Ham, you're not getting any of that, are you?
Nah. Yeah. Pie and mash, bruv.
Exactly.
Well,
exactly.
Actually, nowadays, you're right next to Westfields, aren't you?
Yeah, exactly.
Marcus, Westfields.
What is it?
It's Westfield.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
It's not a huge error.
It's what northern people do. Asda's. Tesco's.
No, it's not just northern.
It's Essex as well.
Yeah.
Westfields.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm going Westfields.
Because it's plural. There's more things going on.
To be fair.
The extreme of it, my dad always said his favourite Man United player was Parks. He always made me laugh.
He means G Sung Parks.
He does.
Yeah.
Not Paul Parks. There we are, ladies and gentlemen. Any more? No, good.
Paul Parks is leader.
I love Jim's dad. I also love Pete's dad. I love Marcus's dad. I love all your dads.
Do you love your own
big
dad?
Dad?
Yeah, I love him, of course.
Yes, he does. Yeah. He's got more capacity to love one dad.
I'd rather do a show with your three dads than with you. And I'm sure you feel the same about
me. He's a daddy lover.
You're going away tomorrow, aren't you?
I am, for a week.
Thank goodness for that.
Yeah. You can't bring my dad into replace because he's also going
to
be away.
We got Mark actually to fund that trip. And we did new cancel.
All right, that's it, isn't it?
There we are, Manchester City of the champions. Thanks very much, Luke Moore.
Thank you.
Thanks, Petey Donaldson.
Goodbye, everyone.
Thanks, Jimmy Campbell.
Thank you.
Thanks, me. And to you, listeners.
This was a Radio Staccato production.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.